tea. Thank you, Morris.
Thank you. Well, it's difficult to work when I'm squeezed between excellent speakers and lunch. But I will try to do what I can. And one of the things Jim mentioned just a minute ago was the excellent news group Comp Tech Text. Some time ago, I had enough time to be there every day. Now I do it much less often than I want. But when I come there and look, one of the questions people ask is the question, how can I make presentation with tech? But usually they say in this way, my colleagues make beautiful presentations with PowerPoint, and I want to do the same, like the same presentation like they do. Which is a good question, but I always thought that it's the same as asking a question like this. My colleagues do beautiful texts with Word. How can I use tech to do exactly the same thing with the same jagged lines and the same strange table location, so on? So the first question which I would like to address is, do we really need presentations like this? And if we don't, what kind of presentations we want? I will start with more or less famous presentation, which was created by Peter Norvig. This is the famous Gettysburg Symmetry Address. Most of people here are from United States, so you all have learned the famous, very short and probably one of the greatest speeches in the US history done by Abraham Lincoln. And Peter Norvig asked the question, what would a person who got used to normal business presentation, how he would make it like this? And he would start with strange backgrounds, with ugly lettering, with, of course, with itemized lists. He would continue with the things with another itemized list. And this is, two levels. I think the next slide is my favorite. It's actually rendering of the phrase that we created a new nation 4 score and 7 years ago. And it will be finished with again itemized list in summary. So it would be pretty boring and pretty standard. So my question, do you really want to do something like this? There is a nice book by Edward, how do you pronounce his name? Tjoft or Taft? Taft, probably. Who actually, it's now in the third edition, I think. This thing is the cover page of the first edition. And one of the famous cognitive style of PowerPoint, one of the things that Taft does, he blames NASA catastrophes, the recent Columbia flight. He blames it, as strange as you can think, on PowerPoint. And the reason is that in very long time, many agencies, NASA including, moved from nicely done white papers with engineering thought, they moved to something like this. This is actually an illustration from Taft's book, where he took a page from NASA presentation about form problem with Columbia, and just looked how many errors, how many problems was in this page. The interesting thing that Taft always looks at bad typography, and he actually makes make a point that bad typography can really sink ships, or in this case, it can sink spaceships. Because good typography is something you use to convey meaning. Bad typography is something you use to obscure meaning, and something to and something which can be which can work to obscure meaning and making your point less vivid and less good than you could do. Unfortunately, one of my works, we work as a federal contractor for FAA, NASA, and so on, and I teach students, and some of them work as federal contractors, and I can say that Tufts' feelings about PowerPoint presentations are exactly right. I have had a student who complained to me that they wrote his company wrote several very nice white papers, made several talks, but what NASA wanted from them was dumbed down presentation with itemized list, and this is a bad thing. Now, what is a proper way to solve this problem? How to make really good and really beautiful presentation? And since we're here in a tech conference, I think tech is not just using tools made by North and other nice people, but tech is also about a style of thinking which was started by North and other mathematicians. You remember how tech started? Tech started because North saw really bad typesetting for his The Art of Computer Programming, and then he asked a very important question. He said, okay, there are classic mathematical books which were beautifully typeset. How do I do the same? How do I repeat this? Now, in our case, we would ask the question, what people did before PowerPoint? How did people manage to make presentations, to make lectures, without PowerPoint? And here is the answer. You see this? This is a blackboard. This is a classic blackboard, and classic lecture is what? A lecture comes to a blackboard, talks something, writes something on a blackboard, again talks, and so on. Now, I would say that it's much better than any PowerPoint or non-PowerPoint presentation that you can make. Why? Two things. First thing is the focus is different. In the Blackboard presentation, the most important thing is the lecturer. He talks or she talks, presents, and Blackboard is a tool, is something which the lecturer uses, right? In a presentation even like this, I tried not to do it like this, but still it's very difficult for me not to shift your focus to the screen, because there is screen, the screen is bright, I'm not so bright in this here. It's difficult. And second thing with the blackboard, when you work with the blackboard, you work exactly with the speed you think. You write an equation, or you, if you are not a mathematician, I have had listened to many lectures from social science people and so on, who still use a blackboard to write down some important things. You write down something. Students write down something. It's exactly the right speed, exactly the right tempo. It's very difficult to do this tempo with the presentation. You want to cram a lot in the presentation, especially if it's equation. You can put a lot of equations in your presentation. It doesn't mean that people will understand your equations. Probably not. And and the thing is that the speed is absolutely wrong. Now, okay. Blackboard serves just a part of your problem. The second thing you want people to have something after your lecture. If it's students, if it's audience for some other presentation, you want people to take something with them and read. And here is how it was done in good old times. This, Jürgen. This is a preprint from Knut's seminar. Actually, it's interesting because it was done before people used tech, I think. It's, just a moment. It doesn't want, okay, yes. It's, if you look at it, it's just text. And the nice thing about this text, it's not choppy itemized lists. It's just normal sequence of phrases. It's normal English. It's not some strange English people use on chart, people use on their slides. And you can actually read this and you can think about it. I brought here the latest issue of Eurotech meeting. I think all of you have seen this. It was distributed with in lieu of the tugboat, right? And there were some presentations there which were did as normal preprints, and some were just copies of slides. Now, is it me so stupid, or is it the thing that I just cannot read the slides and I just don't understand anything which is on slides? Or is it the real? It's absolutely awful. So I wanted to talk to you about principles. And the first principle of presentation is here. If you can work without slides, work without slides. If you have enough time to use Blackboard, use Blackboard. If you have enough time to prepare preprints, typed notes, and give it to your students, use this. Unfortunately, in many cases, you cannot. You want to talk about a lot of things. You want to have a lot of breadth instead of a lot of depth. You just cannot work with Blackboard. You don't have time to make proper notes. Let me tell you this thing. For this conference, I ought to write proper notes because I was told that, okay, notes will be published and please make them early to be included in the program, so I did them. So I just timed that I spent about 2 or 3 times more time of making notes and polishing notes than making my presentations, because it's really difficult to make notes. It's much better to make notes, but it's difficult. So in many cases, you need to make need to make slides. And in the remaining of this lecture, I will tell you some things about how to make slides, and then I will make illustrations from my own experience. Not because I think my slides are perfect. I actually want to show you errors I made in my slides. But because if I show errors in somebody else's slides, I will have lots of problems. Now, any slides you do actually serves 2 or 3 functions. First function is Blackboard. It's something you use in a lecture to help students or audience to understand what you're talking. Second is preprint. You, in many cases, you can make your slides and give it to your students. Please read it after lecture. Please think about this. It's the second function. There is a third function, which is used too often, and I don't want to talk too much about this, this marketing tool. So the first principle when you make slides, just decide for yourself what you are doing. Is it Blackboard-like things? Is it preprint-like things? Or is it purely marketing things? And if it's purely marketing, maybe you are doing the wrong thing. And the next thing I want to show you, I want to show you how not to do slides. Now, this thing is an actual slide. It will take a lot of time for my Acrobat to make it because it's so bad that it's, you know, there is an old story about a parrot, about a little girl who told a lot of bad words to a parrot to tell parrot not to use them. So please don't make slides like this. This actual slide from another NASA presentation. And I cannot even tell you what's more ugly in this slide. Whether it's information about the presenter, which is repeated on every slide and takes a lot of space. Whether it's graphics, which are obviously were done by an artist or graphic designer, anybody but engineer, because I cannot imagine an engineer ever producing these graphics or ever putting this on a page. But the worst thing about this slide, I think, is the itemized list. Do you see an itemized, okay, let me go back. Do you see an itemized list here? Do you see all the errors in the itemized list in the previous page? No? Okay. obviously the author did not understand how to make, if you look here, do you see this hand tool here? It says resulting environments cover entire tank. You would think that it's two items. It's actually one item with two bullets. It says that it has two levels of hierarchy. On the second level, it says environment updates result from first PL ramp elimination, new methodology used by SEAL, and then it has these two bullets resulting environment cover entire tank, which does not belong here because it's on completely different level. So these slides, these itemized bullets are not just boring to read, they are so boring to write that this guy never had time or stamina to make it better. In all my slides, I used bullets. I try not to do this anymore. But in all my slides, I found only one example where the bullets were right. There is this example. I explained the difference between different Unix groups, between Unix users, system users, and root, and they thought, okay, I will make small bullets which show, which would be different and show the different groups here. Since then, I have an informal rule for me. If I cannot make different bullets for my itemized list, I don't use it. And actually, it's not only about slides. If I were an editor of Tugboat, I would forbid using itemized list in Tugboat too. But it's bad. Now, yes? Now, a couple of words about dynamic slides. Dynamic slides is something that changes. And if you look at the book by Taft, he says that it's a very bad thing because, well, you show a picture, then you hit enter, read another line, hit enter, read another line, and he says it's bad. Well, in many cases, it's bad. But since our model is a blackboard, in blackboard, I write something, I delete, write something else, and so on. So I think the dynamic slides are good. And here's an example of one of my presentations. It's a workflow for tech. And if you look at this workflow, it's flow chart, but for a novice, it could be difficult to look because it's so many boxes. So I thought that this thing, when you show that you start with a tech file, talk something about tech file, then tell about change to DVI, then from DVI to PostScript, from PostScript to PDF, and then you hit enter and you see the alternate route, I think it's a good thing to do. So my opinion is that if you want to make dynamic, if you want to make some motion, it's usually good if it's something like blackboard. And the last thing which I want to tell you before, is the environment. The reason why I never used slides class, why I don't use Beamer class, why I don't use many other environments, many other packages is because they separate your thought into slides. You say begin slide, put something, end slide, put something. The thing is that after this, you start to think in slides. You start to think, okay, here's one thought, here's another thought, and so on. It's wrong because my thoughts are larger than one slide. So one of my principles, never use something which has begin, or in Beamer it's begin frame, end frame. Never use a presentation package which has begin and end in it. Okay, the last question about general principles, panel or no panel? Panel is a small sidebar here which you might use for putting some navigation bar, putting some information about what is it and how it is done, and so on. Again, in some books about presentations, they tell you that it's a wrong thing to use a panel. And the reason they say it takes a lot of space. Well, yes, it takes a lot of space, but sometimes it's a nice thing. For example, if you put your table of contents in the panel, and most presentation packages allow you to do this, it's a good thing for people to see where they are. And especially it's good to people who use your slides as a substitute for preprint, for people who just take your file and look it on their computers. And second thing about this, if they read your slides from the computers,
the aspect ratio is completely wrong because the screen, normal screen, not good Macintosh screens of old days, the normal screens have landscape orientation, basically. And the aspect ratio is completely wrong. So if you make a side panel, your aspect ratio could be a little bit better. So my principle is this. If I use my slides as a substitute for blackboard, like today, I never use side panel. If I use my slides as a substitute for printed notes, I use a side panel. Okay, now a couple of examples. And again, when I started to make slides, I started with FoilTech. Remember this nice package for making foils. And I thought, okay, if I take FoilTech, put FoilTech through PDF LaTeX, what I will obtain? And the result, yes, here is how it looks. It's begin normal begin document, begin sections. Actually, you need, in FoilTech, they have foil head instead of section. And I was so irritated by foil head because I didn't want to separate my thoughts into slides. So I even wrote a small package, which is called, by historical reasons, foil HTML, which just basically substitutes sections for foil heads. And here is what I wrote. It's one of the presentations I did. It was done many years ago, so it's obviously bad. Can you explain me why this thing? Acrobat Reader is obviously a... Okay, I want this is Unix Mac. Yes. But it's reasonably good. It has bullet points. I wouldn't do bullet points anymore. But it has epigraphs, and you can make epigraphs in slides, which is nice. You can make footnotes. You can make nice design. So FoilHead gave me more or less good design and more or less painless slides. The thing is, it's a little bit bland. And the way it works with logos, all logos, as you see, is down, and bad aspect ratio in the normal screen becomes even worse if you use this. So I use this for some time, and then I started to look into different packages. I looked into Beamer. I looked into obviously standard slides. And the package I actually standard that became standard for me was PDF Screen, and I'm avid user of PDF Screen now. The reason why PDF Screen is so nice is because it does not impose on me anything. It's very customized. It's very customizable and nice. Besides PDF Screen, a couple of other packages I use. I use TPS Leaf Fonts, which is from very nice Tech Power package. People say that slides should have sans serif in them instead of serifs. I think that it's true for low resolution slides. Maybe for the technologies we have now, we have much better media projectors. Maybe we can use serif fonts. But somehow I got used to that. If you have slides, you have sans serif. Another nice package I use is TechPower. TechPower is a package which is used to the completely makes really ugly things like page transitions, which you should not do, other effects. But nice thing which it does nice dynamic effects like dynamic slides, which I just have shown you, were done in TechPower. So you can define a navigation panel, which is basically a set of Acrobat menus. And here is presentation. The presentation I want to show you right now is interesting because it's a marketing-like presentation. Marketing is because when you talk to your students, in most universities, students can drop your course after first or second lecture. So your first or second lecture should be really marketing. You don't want to show them a lot of equations. You want to make them think that it would be easy to have this course. And it's the only lecture I use slide projector. So I put them something like this, which has a navigation panel. The nice thing about this navigation panel, it's clickable. So if you click here, you will go to the next session. And you can actually show them a lot of pictures. There is lots of things like, again, dynamic. I could ask them a question, then talk a little bit, and then show them the answer. Okay, here and here. So it's nice and good, and it's what you probably want for a good presentation. Here, to see the difference, I want to, what I don't understand with this thing, I mean Acrobat, is how to easily switch from how XPDF is better than Acrobat is that you'd never have problems like this. Unfortunately, XPDF doesn't have good full screen mode, so I use Acrobat instead. Okay, the next presentation is from the same course, but the difference is that we are deeply into the course. And when we are deeply into the course, it's a lot of equations. And because there is a lot of equations, I don't want to use slides and don't want to use slide projectors. So this lecture I was done absolutely in the blackboard, but there is a PDF file on a website, and students can come to PDF to the website and just look what is there. And if I click open link in new window, will it do it good for me? Yes. No. Okay. So, my friend, I want you to work, please. Okay, Unix. No. Okay, here we have it. I hope. Maybe I have too many open windows. Barbara told us that one of the requirements for tag editor is to make computer bend to your own will. I probably never will make a good think about this because, okay, let me do it this way. Sorry, I think you all are hungry. It's here. Yes. Let me just open this presentation in an Acrobat. Okay. And here is a lot of equations. And again, it's all notes for reading. Of course, I understand that I'm shortchanging my students. A proper way for me would to, oh, thank you. A proper way for me to do this would be to, probably to make proper notes and give my students proper notes. But I never have had time for this, so that's what they ought to work with. And I don't think it's too bad. I think it's more or less useful for on-screen reading, okay? Another couple of presentations I want to show you. I want to show you three simple presentations, and this would be end of it. They all are made with PDF screen. This presentation was a lecture. It was not a preprint-like lecture because people at that conference had a preprint. So it doesn't have side panel. And again, it has a lot of equations. It has a lot of, lots of equations. And
I ought to make some equations understandable. So this is my bad attempt to explain people what I actually mean by equations, and it has graphs. Yes, and Leila here convinced me to make all the graphs completely in color because.
Because I like color.
Yes. And again, this is something. Again, if I would make a big lecture about this, I probably would use something else. But since I had 20 minutes and I ought to do this in a conference, well, I did it this way. And the last couple of presentations I want to show you are interested because they are about tech. I recently made lectures for American Chemical Society. They wanted to implement tech in their manuscript submission process, and they thought it's very easy to do. So they asked me to teach their help desk stuff. I wish them a lot of luck in their thing. But that's how I did. Now, the thing is that in this presentation, again, I was constrained. I ought to cram a lot of stuff into the slides, and I want to give the slides to the audience to work with this. So here is how it is done. Again, you have a side panel here. I hope you don't have much bullet points. Here I explain how did people work before tech. Here is my rendering of the work of technical editor. I know that some people who did this work before tech will immediately tell me that I'm completely wrong, right? More or less. Yes, and this is more or less slide which we could show them. And this is some list which is basically the same thing like Jim did in the previous presentation, but because my audience was first novices, second help desk, so they ought to become gurus in a couple of days. Some sort of become a tech guru in 4 days. My list became much, much longer. Yes. By the way, I forgot to mention, if we talk about practical things, I forgot to mention another package without which I don't imagine good tech-based presentation. This is OPSIT package. Have you ever used it? OPSIT is a package which puts bibliography in the footnotes. And when you do presentation like this and you want people to see the references and so on really fast, you do this in this way. Okay. Not this one. Okay, and the last presentation, the last one. How much time do I have?
5 minutes.
Great. Great. Just here. Okay. No. Okay. I wish somebody could give me the code for Acrobat Reader and I would rewrite it. Okay, this is the same ACS lectures. This is another lecture where I wanted to describe to them workflow. So here is where this chart was there. And here I explain them that their system, they have very interesting system, some sort of a black box. You put a tech file in the black box, you got a PDF file from the black box. Very interesting system with too many bugs for it to be as useful as I want it to do. This is interesting because it has exercises. Nice thing to, if you have long, boring lecture, nice thing is to stop it and to
take some breath and make your audience to do something. So you have exercises and actually lots of exercises in this lecture and even more in the next lecture. Since I found that that students can drop off the first lecture, I always put all the exercises in the second, third, and so on. Yes, and this is, by the way, a lot about errors, something which Peter Flom asked us. Okay, I hope if I click Control L properly and if I pray, no such luck. Let me go to the last slide of these slides. And my last exhortation to you is this, that really package of presentation is a very dangerous thing. You can do a lot of things with tech, and you can shoot your own foot with tech really easily. And it's very easy to obfuscate matters with it. It's very easy to make your audience think that they understand something without real understanding. So if you could not use it, better not to use. But if you ought to use it, and there are many cases where you ought to use it, like this conference, because I probably wouldn't be able to put all my examples on the blackboard. If you ought to use this, tech can give you means to do this. And I think PDF screen is a good thing. People use Beamer, I explain why I don't. The only thing, please, 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 don't try to reproduce your colleagues with PowerPoint, because it's the same thing as reproduce Word files on tech. You can do this, but you don't want to do this. Okay, thank you very much. Well, I'm still here, so you can ask. Yes?
I highly recommend Tuff. He's written three books, and he self-published them because he could not get anybody to lay them out.
Yes, actually, yes, I just want to say, he just published a fourth book, which I never read yet. If you looked in one of my presentations, this about microsatellite, which we did, which I have shown, you would see the small multiples graph, which was exactly taken. The idea of this graph was taken from Taft. And actually, it's a very good book. And I think anybody who are interested in typesetting and typesetting typesetting data and quantified information should just have Taft in. On the desk as a great reference and great thought provocative book. You are completely right. He's a great guy. Yes?
I'd like to make an observation, taking exception to one thing you said.
Okay.
Which is, you said that the government used white papers and so on before they used PowerPoint. I was worked for the government for a very long time, and I don't think that's right. They used to have little contractors next to all the military places making foils by hand without PowerPoint. My observation is that probably PowerPoint was made to mimic the foils that the government was already using.
Yes, and the thing is that this is absolutely wrong practice, and it's against proper ways of conveying information. Tomorrow I will have another lecture. I will show what actually the government wants. You will see it. Anyway, yes.
One of the things about going as they used to outside to contract it, to make slides, and of course many of them were 35 millimeter slides, is that they used to cost money.
Yeah.
And so you used to sit and think for a long time before you did it. One was going to cost you like $5. And what I've noticed is that obviously since PowerPoint became available, people are producing presentations with 150 slides in them or 200 slides in them. They don't have time to get through them. They don't speak. And you end up with a presentation which has no content.
Yes.
It has an apparent content, but there's no intellectual content.
Yes.
And sorry, one of the warnings that you didn't cover was the use of graphics. have some very serious problems, particularly with medical people.
Oh.
Because what they do is in the operating theaters, they take photographs of operations to show their students. These are taken automatically from above with a very, very, very high resolution camera, which is fine because they need the detail for the purposes of teaching. They then drop these megapixel images into PowerPoint and they then upload them to the Blackboard server or something like that within the organization. And then they call me saying, why aren't my students downloading my PowerPoint files? And you go and look at the file, and it's 3/4 of a gigabyte.
Yes.
But for the average student on a dial-up line, that's 27 hours of downloading. And I explain this, they say, oh, is it too big or something? there are some serious problems. One of the reasons why PDF is a considerable improvement is because it does do some attempt at file compression and some attempt at de-rasterization.
Yeah, but even with this attempt, have you seen how much time did it take for my Acrobat to show this page? And believe me, the size of this page for NASA presentation was absolutely obscene. And they have a long presentation with hundreds of pages of this stuff. Yes.
I sort of disagree with a couple things. One of them, the Blackboard. Okay. The number of, well, I took Introduction to Analysis of Variance from a professor whose I's, J's, K's, and dots all look exactly the same. Okay, so X sub I sub J, all completely indistinguishable. Okay, so if he had done that on a computer, he could tell an I from a J.
Yes.
Okay, the other is it's easy to make a mistake when you're writing a formula on a blackboard, and that obviously could lead to confusion. But also on the PowerPoint, I mean, it's really, you know, even if you use bulleted points, okay, it's really easy to do a stupid presentation with bulleted points. The Gettysburg Address is nice and funny. The NASA one with the, I mean, it's stupid.
Yes.
But you can also do a good presentation with bulleted points.
Okay, let me, okay, if you allow, I will not respond to the last comment, but a couple of, I understand it's lunchtime, but I just want to respond about Blackboard. Okay, you know, my education was in Ukraine. Actually, it was former Soviet Union. And they had a stupid idea that people who had education in physics or mathematics should also have courses in proper teaching, physics, and mathematics, and so on. So I had this course. And one of the things they taught us is to properly use Blackboard. I would not say that I do it properly because let me tell you something. My professors always told me, okay, your lectures are fine, your Blackboard is ugly. But a properly taught professors should distinguish the G's, J's, and K's. No problem. And second thing about errors. Yes, when you use Blackboard, you can make an error. And this is a good thing. Because, and this is my deep belief, when a professor makes an error, then corrects this error, it has a very good pedagogical and very good teaching consequences for students. You will never forget the thing. Some professors even make some mistakes deliberately. I don't do this. I have enough mistakes just as it go. But I know that some people do this. So it's not. It's basically not a bad thing to make a mistake on the Blackboard. If you correct it. Yes?
I think we're going to get the best of both worlds. I read an article recently about wireless LCD projector and the use of the tablet. You can make your slide with some of your monotonous type of ideas and document properly. And then use the stylus in order to annotate it or to customize it for the questions in that class. So you have the best of both.
Yes, this is a good. This is a good thing. Actually, you can do this in a low-tech word. If you take this projector, put a piece of plastic, and just write in on this piece. But I think we are all hungry.
Yeah, but you can't see that.
Yeah. Okay, I think lunch is ready, so back at 1:40. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.